This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Hello again. Today we're going to talk about inspections, citations, and proposed penalties under the OSHA Act and under OSHA regulations, the 29 CFR 1903. So first of all, we're going to talk about the different types of inspections. We have general inspections that are scheduled, which are random inspections scheduled by OSHA, and the contractor or the site does not know about it in advance. There is a complete inspection. We're going to discuss it in a little while. So if an employee, for example, complains about something on site that can cause any hazard or danger or accidents, they can notify OSHA and OSHA would respond and come for inspection. A post-incident inspection in case of a fatality or three injuries from the same event, from the same accident, OSHA has to come and inspect. And a referral, news media, fire department, or public, if, for example, someone driving by or passing by sees a situation on a construction site that can cause danger to the employees, to the workers on that construction site, they can notify OSHA directly, whether that's a media or a regular citizen, they can notify OSHA and OSHA is going to respond to investigate. Or a special emphasis, if there's a focus area for OSHA and OSHA focuses that year or that on a certain topic or a group of topics like the focus 4 that we're going to talk about or silica, for example, then OSHA is going to have a focused inspection or targeted inspection to investigate this particular issue. And as I just said, the focus inspections, the four main hazards or the focus 4, which are the fault protections caught in between electrocution and hit by or struck by. And the last one is a follow-up inspection. So in case OSHA comes for a random inspection and they find a certain violation, they would give an abatement time for the contractor to fix that problem, and OSHA will come back after the end of that abatement period to inspect whether that issue was taken care of or not. So filing a complaint, who can file a complaint and how should it be filed? Any employee may file a complaint to OSHA. Anyone working on the construction site that might be affected negatively by a hazard, they may call OSHA or contact OSHA. The complaint goes directly to the area director, and the area director would notify a compliance officer to go and inspect, and that complaint must be in writing. So would the area director respond to every complaint sent to him or her? The answer is no. The area director may or may not take action based on the severity of the complaint or the seriousness of the complainer or the complainee. A copy of the complaint goes to the employer so that they would know exactly that there's a complaint that has been filed against them. And in this case, by the way, it does not have to include the name of the complainer because of the Whistleblower Act, which protects the identity of the employees on the site for fear of retribution. So the copy goes to the employer if an inspection takes place. OSHA has the authority to inspect work sites. That's a general premise. And they don't have to give an advance notice. So most inspections are conducted without advance notice, unless it's out of the regular work hours, in this case, just to ensure that there's someone on site to meet with the compliance officer or the inspectors, they're going to notify the site in advance. The exceptions to the no advance notice rule are imminent danger. In case of imminent danger, again, OSHA might notify the site, we're coming immediately to investigate that. Inspections after hours, or again, as I said, out of regular work hours, to assure the presence of representatives, and when the area director believes that it's needed to give a notice to the site that there's going to be an inspection. The OSHA officers are authorized to enter the job site without delay to inspect and investigate compliance to the standards, to question employees in private, and to review the records. So this is the right of the OSHA inspector or the OSHA officer to access the construction site. Well, can they be denied access to the construction site? The answer is yes, although they can come back with a subpoena. They have the subpoena power. They can come back with a court order forcing the contractor to allow them on site. And that's going to create some bad blood between the contractor and OSHA, which is definitely not advisable for any contractor. An employer can refuse to permit the compliance safety and health officer, from now on we're going to call it COSHO, the COSHO, from entering the job site. If this happens, the COSHO must terminate the inspection or confine the inspection to other area. The OSHA officer will immediately relay the situation to the OSHA area director, and again, most likely there's going to be a court order allowing the COSHO to access the site, any location, anywhere. The priorities for inspection: the first priority is imminent danger. That gets the highest attention of the area director, sending someone immediately. If they get a complaint that there's an imminent danger on site, which may result in fatalities or severe injuries, they will respond immediately by sending an inspector. The second priority is investigation of fatalities and accidents resulting in hospitalization of three or more employees. Again, following imminent danger, this is the second highest priority. The third highest priority is employee complaints. Again, as we mentioned before, the area director may respond to that complaint or may disregard it, depending on its seriousness. So that comes as the third priority. The fourth priority is programmed inspections. OSHA would have a schedule of their planned inspections in advance, so following that schedule. And then the fifth priority is follow-up inspections. As I said before, after filing a citation or a violation against the contractor, they would give the employer or the contractor an abatement period, after which they will come back to investigate and make sure that the mistakes were corrected. Now, the inspection sequence, there's a pre-planning on behalf of OSHA. So OSHA reviews the company's history of citations to know what kind of track record do they have. And then they may film or video from off-site if they suspect something wrong is going on site, or if they're responding to a complaint, for example, that's not imminent danger. And then the third step is the compliance officer must show credentials. So upon appearing on site, the COSHO is going to show their identity and announce that they're coming to investigate or they're coming to inspect, and what kind of inspection are they going to be performing. The COSHO will request entry and explain the purpose of the visit. That's upon arrival on the work site. And then once on the work site, the investigation or the inspection itself is going to have three different steps. The first one is going to be the opening conference. The second one is going to be the inspection itself or the walk around inspection. And finally, at the end of the inspection, there's going to be a closing conference. We're going to talk about the components of each one of these. So with the opening conference, the compliance officer is going to announce what's the scope and identify what's the scope and type of the inspection. Again, if it's imminent danger, if responding to a complaint, if it's pre-planned, and so on. And they're going to look at the records on site. So again, records have to be kept in an accessible place where the COSHO can review them upon visiting the site, including any records and forms related to accidents or injuries on site. And we're going to talk about these forms in a short while. And they're going to look at the material safety data sheets, for example. They're going to look at the personal protective equipment. They're going to look at a training record for the employees on site. How many times have they been trained? What kind of training have they been receiving? And whether it's going to be a focused inspection or not. So if it's a focused inspection, they're going to focus primarily on fault protection, for example, or on electrocution and so on, or on all four, focus four at the same time. And the COSHO is going to meet with the subcontractor, the contractors and the subcontractors, with representatives of these different entities to arrange for the next step, which is the walk around the site to investigate and to inspect. The walk-around inspection, the kosher will tour the job facility looking for hazards, and will interview employees, and then will collect photos and videos and samples or measurements just to make sure. So, for example, if we're talking about a certain height for fall protection, they're going to measure the guardrails and the handrails. They're going to measure different things to make sure that they're complying with the code. The employer should also take photos from the same point and from the same perspective of the compliance officer, because later on, if they want to have a defense against a certain citation or a penalty, they're going to prove that through the same pictures. So it's important for the employer to take the same photo as OSHA from several viewpoints to prove the rights. After the inspection is over, there's going to be a closing conference. The compliance officer is going to point out any potential violations of the standards and establish abatement dates for the correction. In case of imminent danger, if the compliance officer concludes that imminent danger exists, the kosher must immediately tell the employee and the employer of such danger, and the immediate action may not prevent a citation from being issued. For example, if the sides of the excavation are not properly supported, and the kosher feels that there might be a cave-in which might cause accidents, and that can be imminent danger if there are people working in the trench, if they notify the employer and the employer takes immediate action, still, that does not negate that they're going to be cited for their neglect of taking care of that without being notified by the kosher. The decision to issue a citation, the kosher is going to write the report, and the area director is going to review the report. The area director may consult with the regional solicitor and then may decide whether to issue a citation or a notice of a de minimis violation. A de minimis violation is a violation that does not require any penalty or any citation. It's just going to be a warning to the contractor. Pay attention to that particular area so that you do not cause any problems there. The area director is the one who issues the citations and not the kosher. So the kosher just writes the report, and it's up to the area director to make a decision whether to issue a citation or not. The citations must be issued within 180 days of the visit, of the inspection. If 180 days pass, which is 6 months, pass after the inspection, and no citation is issued, that's it. You're not going to receive a citation for that particular complaint or issue. An informal conference, the employer can ask for an informal conference within 15 days to object to the citation or to appeal that citation. The employer must either correct and pay if they acknowledge the citation or contest the citation. Again, all of that is within the 15 days. Types of citations, not all citations are equal. There's something called a serious citation, which gives a high probability of death or serious injury. If that exists, then it's a serious citation. And then the other than serious, which would not cause death or serious injury. Of the serious, the highest one is going to be the willful, where death or serious injury could occur and the employer either knew of it or should have known that the hazard existed. So, for example, an employer has employees working on an elevated slab without having any fall protection, without having any harnesses, without having the proper handrails and guardrails and so on, then obviously they should have known, because this is part of the code that they have to comply with. So this is going to be a willful violation. Even worse than that is going to be the criminal willful, flagrant disregard for safety. If they intentionally expose their employees to hazards that might result in fatality or serious injury. Another type of citation is for repeat violations. A re-inspection within 3 years and a similar violation is found. Remember, when the COSHO gives the citation or issues the report and the area director issues the citation, again, the area director is the one who issues the citation, the COSHO just writes the violation and recommendation for that citation. They're going to give an abatement period. If after the abatement period that problem has been corrected, that's fine after the follow-up inspection. But if within 3 years of that initial citation it is repeated, then it becomes a repeat citation and it has a higher penalty. Failure to abate. If you are given a certain time to abate that hazard on site and you do not fix the problem, you do not appeal it or ask for an extension, and you do not abate it within that period, then failure to correct is going to be a citation. The citations must be posted. They are going to be posted on site to add insult to injury. They have to be posted on site so that the visitors or the employees would know that this is not a safe employer. It has to be posted on site where employees report to work each day. So it's going to be visible each day so that everyone would know what they have been cited for and they would pay more attention. Some types of penalties per event or occurrence. So for example, if you have 10 employees who have been exposed to that hazard, it's going to be that penalty times 10. So other than serious, it can be up to $7,000, from zero up to $7,000. If it's de minimis, it's going to be zero, and then up to $7,000. Serious, up to $7,000. Willful, up to $70,000 per occurrence. Criminal willful, up to $500,000. And it can be repeated twice, five times, 10 times, etc. Failure to abate is going to be up to $7,000 per calendar day for up to a month. So a maximum of $210,000. In addition to the financial penalty, there might be also jail time. So in case of willful that results in death, it's up to $10,000 plus 6 months in jail. Giving advance notice. If someone gives advance notice to the site telling them about the planned visit by OSHA, it's up to $1,000 plus 6 months. And giving a false statement, up to $1,000 and 6 months as well. Failure to report a fatality. A fatality has to be reported within 24 hours. Failure to report a fatality, $5,000. Failure to post citation, as we mentioned, it has to be posted at a place where every employee can see it, where they report to work every day. Failure to post the citation, $3,000. And failure to post the 300 log, which has the log of the accidents or injuries and so on, $1,000 per case. Egregious, the penalty amount multiplied times the number of employees exposed. And that can be a huge sum. At this time, OSHA cannot use the egregious policy due to court decision. However, they have appealed this. Some employers have complained about the egregious penalty, but OSHA is appealing that, so it has not been finally decided yet. The penalties can be adjusted up or down based on the gravity of the violation. Of course, the more severe, the higher the penalty. The size of business. If it's a small business, there's going to be a sort of an excuse given to a certain extent. But if it's a large business, means that more people are going to be exposed to that hazard, so it's going to be very serious. Good faith of the employer. If the employer shows that they have a good track record and that was something that was just overlooked, it was not intentional, and the history of previous violations, whether they have been cited for the same issue before and how fast they responded and they complied within the abatement period and so on and so forth. So the adjustment based on the gravity of the violation, whether the severity is high, medium, low, or minimum. We talked about the de minimis, for example, and the probability of occurrence. Can it occur again? So greater or lesser probability. The number of persons exposed. The more people exposed, definitely the more the penalty is going to be. And the frequency of exposure. If it's something that they are exposed to every day or every hour of the day, then again, that's going to result in a higher penalty. And other factors, including, again, how responsive that employer is going to be. The adjustment based on the size of business. For small employers, if they have 1 to 25 employees, they can get up to 60% reduction. For 26 to 100 employees, up to 40% reduction. For 101 to 250 employees, up to 20% reduction. And they get no reduction whatsoever if they have more than 251 employees, because again, there are more people who are exposed to that hazard. Based on good faith, up to 25% reduction for written and implemented safety and health program. If you have a good safety program and you show real efforts in implementing it, then you can get up to 25% reduction, and up to 15% reduction for written safety and health program with some deficiencies. If it's not a perfect program, but at least you're showing the good faith and the good effort. Based on history of previous violation, a reduction of 10% shall be given to employers if they had no serious violations, no willful violations, or no repeat violations in the past 3 years. If you have any of these, you do not get any reduction in this area. The focused inspections are the ones that focus on four main hazards, causing 90% of all construction fatalities. That's why they're called the focus four. The first one is falls. So falls from floors, work platforms, roofs, etc. That forms up to 1/3 of all fatalities in construction. The second one is struck by falling objects, by vehicles, etc. So for example, a vehicle is backing up and not having a siren or a warning sound, so it might hit someone. Something falling from higher level, hitting someone, standing underneath it, that's about 22% of the fatalities. Caught in between, like cave-ins, for example, in case of working in a trench, that's about 18% of the fatalities. And electrical or electrocution by overhead lines or by hand tools, that's up to 17% of the fatalities. The purpose for a focused inspection is for the COSHO to spend less time with safe companies and more time with other companies. So if you are a company that has a good track record, that has a good safety program, that is implementing that safety program, then you're not going to get as frequent visits from COSHO as someone who does not have all of the above. So the focused inspections are shorter inspections just to make sure that you are implementing everything that you have in your program. To qualify for a focused inspection, you must have a written safety program, and that should be implemented by a competent person. Later on, we're going to discuss in detail what is a competent person. The focused inspection, as we mentioned, are limited inspections, apply only to safety. They do not have any health issues. Apply only when there's a single controlling contractor. We're going to talk later on about the different types of contractor, who is a controlling, who is causing, who is correcting, etc., who is exposing. If not eligible, standard inspection is going to be performed. So this is, the focused inspection is a benefit given to good performing employers. A 25% good faith adjustment may apply to penalties, as we just mentioned, because already, since you're going to have a focused inspection, you have established that you have a good safety program and you have a competent person to apply it, then you would qualify for the good faith adjustment. All right, now we're going to look very quickly at some review questions for what we have discussed here in this lecture. True or false, the contractor cannot refuse entry to the OSHA compliance officer. True or false? This is false, because the contractor can refuse, but it would be a big mistake. With a good safety and health program, the reduction in penalty can be up to what percentage? We mentioned two different types. One is 25% if you have a good program and a competent person to implement it, and 15% if you have a program that has some deficiencies. The penalty for a willful criminal violation can be up to how much, and who issues the citation? So the first one, again, false, he can refuse. Second one, anywhere between 25% and 15%. Third one, up to $500,000. Who issues the citation? We mentioned that it's going to be not the COSHO, but the area director. All right, so basically this is our topic today about citations, penalties, and inspections. See you in another lecture.